This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast, and we're looking at walking in Jesus. Now, today, I'm looking at a very, very important topic. We're going to look at receiving the Holy Spirit. The objectives out of this session is to understand why we need to receive the Holy Spirit, to understand how we receive the Holy Spirit, and I did talk a little about this in the last session in Laying On of Hands. And at the end of this, you should know whether you have received the Holy Spirit or not, and what to do about it. So an overview. This session will give you an overview of the processes and reasons for how and why we receive the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is essential to a full and complete walk with and in Jesus Christ. But too many churches do not even follow this necessary practice. They have been deceived by the devil into thinking that receiving the Holy Spirit is somehow automatic, or it occurs at different times during the Christian walk, but this is not so. Some believe you receive the Holy Spirit when a person first believes. Others think it's automatic after baptism. And there are other different beliefs about this matter. But we will look at what the Bible says to seek and to find the truth of this matter once and for all. So the first scripture I want to look at is in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So what we see out of this is it's a prerequisite that if we are to come into the kingdom of God, we must be born again, or born new. The actual words indicate that we must be born from above, born anew of God. Jesus explains what this means to be born again. We must be born again of water, which is water baptism, and born again of the Holy Spirit, which is to receive the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit is essential, as is baptism, for without these taking place, we cannot see or enter the kingdom of God, as this scripture tells us. So it's important that we learn what this means and how to receive the Holy Spirit to complete our rebirth as children of God and Spirit. In John chapter 14, verses 15 and 17, we see this written, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." What we see here is that the Holy Spirit was with the disciples while Jesus was upon the earth. But here, Jesus shows that the Holy Spirit would come upon the disciples to dwell within, in each of them. This could not occur until after Jesus had died, because Jesus had to first make atonement for sin through his death before the Spirit could come. But after that occurred, the Holy Spirit was released and sent by Jesus to dwell within the people of God. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all the children of God as prophesied by the prophet Joel, and we see the commencement of this fulfillment of this prophecy at Pentecost. In Acts 1, verses 4 to 8, we see this, "And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Now, the reason why we receive the Holy Spirit is for the same reason that Jesus told the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they received the Spirit. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they were to receive power. This power is the power to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. For it is the work of the Holy Spirit to do this transformation. It's primarily for transformation that we receive the Holy Spirit, because no man can overcome the flesh by himself. We need the working of the Holy Spirit and his power to be able to gain the full victory offered us in Jesus Christ. In Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, we see this. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The very first instance we see of the Holy Spirit being poured out onto the disciples occurred at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell on the disciples in the form of flames and with the sounds of rushing winds. It would have been an incredible spectacle, and it was clear that it was witnessed by many of the people in Jerusalem. So it was not hidden away in a dark corner. This was evidence of the power of God and the fulfillment of his word. But of even greater significance were the other signs, prophecy and speaking in tongues. We do not see flames of fire or hear rushing winds, which I believe were seen to fulfill other prophecies and to make it clear that this was the work of God. However, prophecy and speaking in tongues are common today and are necessary gifts of the Spirit to help us in our walk with Christ. Looking over at Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 47, we find this. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" When the Holy Spirit was first poured out upon the Gentiles, it occurred similar to those at Pentecost. There was no evidence of flames or rushing winds. However, the key indicators for receiving the Holy Spirit were the people extolling God in prophecy and speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a crucial gift God gives us to help us overcome the attacks of the devil and the passions of the flesh. That's why in almost all cases we see this gift at front and centre when people receive the Holy Spirit. Both here and at Pentecost, the Lord just simply poured out the Holy Spirit. But that is not the only way we can receive the Holy Spirit. And in fact, it's not the most common way. The most common way for this to occur, to receive the Holy Spirit, is through the laying on of hands. Luke 11, verses 9 to 13 says this. "And I tell you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This scripture gives us another method by which we can receive the Holy Spirit, and it is one that all who have not yet received the Holy Spirit should employ, including those who have had hands laid on them. We need to ask God to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will not give us anything evil or anything that may harm us, as this verse shows, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift of all. God will give us this gift, but we have to ask him for the Holy Spirit first. It's sort of like, if you don't ask, you don't get. So ask, as it says, ask and it will be given you. And then in that last verse, it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you're not sure whether or not you've received the Holy Spirit, ask. Ask God. That's all you got to do. Pray and ask. Say, Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that you give me the Holy Spirit. That's all you've got to do. And ask in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 21, we see these words. "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that any on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God.'" In the churches today, there are a great many strange beliefs concerning the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Some believe you get it when you first believe. Some think it happens at baptism. Some believe you don't receive the Holy Spirit as an indwelling spirit, but he's just with us. Some believe that the Holy Spirit isn't a person, but a force or a power. But this verse is quite clear that the Holy Spirit was received through the laying on of hands. These people were believers and had been baptized, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit until the apostles came down from Jerusalem to lay hands on the people. It was not until this happened, until they had hands laid on them, that they received the Holy Spirit. And we see this also in the next verse, which is in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now again here we see a group of disciples when Paul went to Ephesus. These people were all believers and had been baptized, but they still had not received the Holy Spirit. They did not receive the Holy Spirit when they believed. They did not receive the Holy Spirit when they were baptized, but they only received the Holy Spirit when they had hands laid on them and Paul prayed for them. When Paul laid his hands on them and prayed for them, they then received the Holy Spirit. How did they and how do we know that they received the Holy Spirit? Because they all spoke in tongues. And this is the sign of receiving the Holy Spirit. If you ask any person who has received the Holy Spirit, they will categorically say yes when they speak in tongues. Many in the church who do not practice receiving of the Holy Spirit cannot say whether they have or haven't received it. And even Jesus shows us that the sign of receiving the Holy Spirit is hearing the sound of the Spirit. See, if a person hasn't received the Holy Spirit, if they belong in a church that doesn't practice this, and you say, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They might say, "Well, I think so." They're not certain. But when you receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands and you speak with tongues, then the answer is categorically, "Yes, I've received the Holy Spirit," and they know it. And we see that Jesus says in this next scripture, which is in John chapter 3, verses 6 to 8, that the sound of the Spirit, speaking in tongues is the sound of the Spirit, is the sign of receiving the Holy Spirit and being born of the Spirit. So in John 3, verses 6 to 8, we read this: "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born anew.' The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So we already saw that we need to be born of the Spirit, and that means to have received the Holy Spirit. But how do we know if or when we have actually been born of the Spirit? And Jesus answered that question in his conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus likens the Holy Spirit to the wind. And just as an interesting side, where that word wind, it's the same Greek word that is translated as wind or spirit. It's the word pneuma. So the wind, it says, "You must be born anew." It says, the wind blows where it wills. Well, you could say, the Spirit blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So when Jesus answered the question in his conversation with Nicodemus, he likens the Holy Spirit to the wind. We can't see the wind, but we know it's there because we can hear the sound of the wind as it blows. It's the sound of the wind that tells us the wind is there, especially when we are sheltered from the wind in some way. Thus, Jesus says it's the same for those who are born of the Holy Spirit. How do you know you're born of the Spirit? By hearing the sound of the Spirit. We saw in the examples above that when the disciples received the Holy Spirit by any of the means shown, they prophesied and spoke in tongues. These are the sounds of the Holy Spirit, and they are proof positive that a person has received the gift of the Spirit. These sound gifts are much more important than just being a sign that we receive the Holy Spirit, but that's for a later lesson. The last scripture I want to look at is in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So finally here, we receive the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit can begin his work on us and in us. And this scripture shows us that there is a work required to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. This is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. And it is a long, slow process, which is why this scripture speaks about it being a change from one degree of glory to another. We are being transformed slowly as the Holy Spirit works with us and works in us and works on us to overcome all of our weaknesses and the passions of our flesh. These don't go away quickly. We need to learn how to stand in the face of these things, to reject them, and so be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And this is the work of perfecting that is going on, that must happen. This is the work of perfecting us, for we must be perfect as the Father is perfect if we are to stand in his presence. And it says that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. So here's a few questions to have a think about. Firstly, have you received the Holy Spirit? If you do not have the sound gifts of the Spirit, then the answer may be no. Secondly, do you believe that you can receive the Holy Spirit automatically at some point in your journey? Third, have you asked God to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit? And fourth, do you understand that it is essential to receive this gift because it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ? Is a call to action. If you have not received the Holy Spirit or the gift of tongues and or prophecy, seek it now. Do not accept the lies that speaking in tongues was only for the days of the early church. This is false, as you will see in sessions that we're going to have a look at shortly. And thirdly, if you want to know more on how to receive the Holy Spirit and what tongues are all about, go to my website and select the Finding Jesus option in the menu, and you'll see some questions there. And if you answer the questions, it'll take you to the appropriate information. Now, here's a prayer point. Spend a few moments in prayer now to ask the Lord to understand all of these things. If you have not asked God for the Holy Spirit, ask him now. And seek the elders of the church to lay their hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit in accordance with the Scriptures. So that's it for this session. The next session is going to extend and expand on some of the points identified here. We'll look at speaking in tongues, what it is, why it's important, and when and how to use tongues. And I assure you it's going to be quite different to what is taught in many of the churches today. So that's it from me, John, at freegiftfromgod.com, the podcast. I hope you have a blessed week, and I hope to catch you soon.